Can't you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Soft answer turneth away wrath. And next thing, I end up with a client, and he's yelling at me. He's pulled up in his golf cart at his golf course because I handled his advertising way back when, and I had recommended a rug dealer, and he was disappointed in the rug, so he was angry that it was a shoddy job, and he was yelling. And I remember that week I'd read a soft answer turns away wrath, so I just let him vent. I did not feed it. I did not contest it. I did not resist it. And when you do that, it takes the wind out of the sails of the individual. So a soft, and then you notice if somebody's yelling, you say, "Well, I'm sorry about that." Or like somebody's, you made a mistake in your car, and somebody's going ballistic, like some lady did yesterday. I honked my car yesterday, backing up at Publix in the sophomore, and this lady actually hit my window. And it was like she didn't realize I honked before her, and there was these two individuals that I stopped because then I saw them, and they walked behind me. Then I honked again and then started to back up. I didn't see her, so she was ticked off that I hadn't seen her, and I don't know if she thought I was honking at her, but I was honking for whoever might be walking by. And I don't know why I'm telling you that story. Well, anyway, applying these things, remaining soft, you know, and then it'll take the wind out of the sails. And that's just one lesson from Proverbs. I forget the number of it, but I'm sure you had that happen to you, right? Where you'll learn one thing and then it pops up in your life in the next week or two?
Oh, frequently. But I'm always reminded that what does God say about his own word? He says that his word is living and active.
Yeah.
And sharper than any two-edged sword. And so because his word is living, it's going to be applying. I mean, I could read the same verse 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and today.
Get a completely different.
Right. And it'll hit me differently, or I'll be able to apply it differently because I'm in a different season of life.
Or you weren't ready to learn that lesson when you read it the first time.
Yes.
That's why sometimes, you know, you might be in a prayer group or something like I was in earlier this morning, and you might say something, and they might blink at you like a deer in the headlights or a frog in a rainstorm, you know, blink, blink, blink. Like maybe they're not ready to hear that, or they're in some other reality. So you can't always expect people to get it right away. I treasure the names of God. And by the way, hold up your book again just in case people come and go. And for those who can't see that, what is the title of it?
The title is Reflections on the Names of God, 180 Devotions to Know God More Fully. What I like about this particular edition is if you can see the cover,
yeah,
it's gold and it's got the green vines,
yes,
along the top. Well, what the publisher did, they actually released it as a gift book because if you look at it, the vine motif carries through every page. And so it's a beautiful hardcover gift book. And
it looks like it.
I was very pleased with the way it turned out.
And by the way, it's written by Ava, A-V-A, Pennington, P-E-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N. Ava Pennington is the author we're talking with right now, in case somebody's just tuned in. So we're talking about devotionals. She devotes her life to writing devotionals, although she does write other nonfiction. It seems like there is those of us that like. No, I'm a nonfiction guy. It's nice. I do highly admire fictional writers who do all that research. I mean, if they're legitimate, they do all that research, but it's still by conjecture of what people say. It's kind of like this new series that's out, The Chosen. And I happen to know Mr. Jenkins, the father of Dallas, and I knew him before he became famous with the series about returning series or whatever it was, the Revelation series, and it made him very successful and a wealthy man. But he won't buy a jet, he told me. He really is a very dedicated Christian. But anyway, and now his son, Dallas, has this Chosen thing, which is the most funded movie, public funding movie that's ever occurred in the history of man. A lot of people are watching it. It's very well done, but I prefer the movie that I watched actually in Jerusalem. Not in Jerusalem. It was in Bethlehem. They have a movie theater there, and it just runs this other old movie, Day and Night, but it's of the exact words of God. I think it's the book of Luke. And I don't mind people having conjecture, but I just kind of take it really seriously because, you probably already know this, but if you take the Bible, there's like, I forget what the number is, 594 chapters to the left, 594 chapters to the right, and there's a total of 1,180 chapters, and at Psalm 180, or I think it's 180 or whatever it is, it's trusting God, not in man. So it's an amazing, immaculate, numerologically occurring together. So when people contest and say, did God write this? Well, let me tell you this. Now, do you think God wrote it? And so when someone adds their own words, I'm just like with the devotionals, there's some people that might act as if they're hearing from God to tell you what to do. I feel very uncomfortable because I and you and everybody listening to this broadcast, they are God's inheritance. And it specifically says in the scriptures, do not lord it over God's inheritance.
Well, I do find that fiction sometimes people can relate to it, and that will be the hook that draws them in to reading the Bible and wanting to learn more about God. I tend to be more of a nonfiction person, but I do see, I've read some very powerful fiction over the years that has drawn me to want to dig into scripture more deeply. So different strokes for different folks, I guess. But you did ask about reading a sample.
From your book.
What I thought I would do is read, since we're in the Christmas season, this is not a Christmas book necessarily.
Makes for a great gift idea, though.
I thought maybe since we're in the Christmas season, I would read the three devotions, and so three pages,
yes,
that relate to the title of Jesus, the Son of God.
Okay. The Son of God. I'm going to take notes. I've got my pen here.
Okay. So this particular name of God is the Son of God. It's referring to Jesus.
Yes.
And the title is, Whose Son Is He? And the passage that I'm focusing on is Luke 1, 26 to 35.
Hold on. Luke 1, 26 to 35. Yes. Okay.
And the verse that I specifically focused on is verse 35. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God. And this is the angel speaking to Mary.
Wow.
So.
Say that again, would you?
Okay. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God. And that's what the angel told Mary. So here's the devotion that I wrote. Now remember, this is the first one in a series of three on this name of God, the Son of God, this title of Jesus. And so this first one is looking up to see, this is what God said, right? And so I wrote, fully God, yet fully man. Never before in human history had God become man. Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of a virgin, not simply a young girl. A virgin. It was always historically understood that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. More than 200 years before the birth of Jesus, when Jewish scholars translated the Old Testament into Greek, they used the Greek word for virgin in Isaiah 7:14, where Isaiah wrote, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." This miraculous birth was anticipated for hundreds of years, and it brought forth the sinless Son of the Most High God. Our salvation could be accomplished by no less than God himself. Only God could live a sinless life to fulfill the law. Only God could provide the perfect substitutionary sacrifice. And only God had the power to break the stranglehold of sin and death. Only God. God became man. It had never happened before because the time had not been right. It will never happen again because Jesus Christ accomplished our salvation once and for all. And then a brief prayer. Holy Lord, thank you for providing my salvation by stepping into human history. And then I close the devotion with a challenge question. How can I celebrate the birth of the Son of God in my own life today? So this is what God said about himself. And then the second devotion, again, still looking at exploring the Son of God. This one looks in to see, how does this change who I am? And here I'm looking at worship and obedience from Psalm 2, verses 1 to 12. And the focus, the verse, is Psalm 2, 7. You are my son. Today I have become your father. So you see, we're still focusing on the Son of God as the title. But here's what I wrote. Why do some people today work so hard not to believe Jesus Christ is God? The psalmist described people and nations who refuse to yield to the divine authority of the Son of God. And he said God laughs at their feeble attempts to rule themselves apart from him. He has installed his Son as the eternal king, regardless of whether some people will submit to him. And by the way, I'm basing what I wrote on Psalm 2. This is coming out of Psalm 2. Today, many view Jesus as a philosopher, a teacher, or a prophet, anything but God. To acknowledge Jesus Christ as God means admitting accountability to him. Accountability leads to judgment, and many would rather deny the possibility of judgment than submit to his lordship. The way Christians live speaks volumes about who Jesus Christ is. If we believe Christ is God, we will do more than worship him during weekend church services. We will also submit to his lordship and obey him the rest of the week. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Our worship and obedience communicate the reality of his identity to a world in denial. And then the brief prayer, Lord, forgive me for the times I have dismissed your authority in my life. Help me live with reverence for you so others might see what it means to belong to the divine Son of God. And then the closing challenge, in addition to my worship, in what area do I need to submit to Christ's lordship today?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
I want to sing a song for you, Lord. I love for you, I want to sing a song. And I want to lift my voice to heaven and listen to the angels sing along. A song of your faithfulness, a song of your grace.